preaching now.
Okay.
All right.
I got it in my car.
Good evening, everyone. And if you have your Bibles, let's resume our studies in the book of Ephesians. Nope, in the book of John. Just kidding.
Where are we?
The back of the book of John. Yep, chapter 20. I was reading in Ephesians before the service at home, and so Ephesians is in my mind. All right, so I appreciate Pastor Andre covering the service for me last week. I never like to be out of the pulpit, but I felt like not as good as I normally would feel in the evening. I kind of got a fever, and I get really cranky when I get sick, and I just can't handle it. I know, that's all the math. So it's my one excuse a couple times a year to get my wife to rub my back. So she rubbed my back for a little while, and it was worth it. Why? Everybody likes it when their wives rub their back. All right. If you don't know my nature by now, God help you. My good buddy and I, when we get together, we carry on like a couple of deplorables. The Lord called me to the ministry, and I have attempted to suppress my unfiltered nature as much as possible, but that's just the way I am. Okay. I'll sit there and think about not saying something, and the more I think about not saying it, it'll make me want to say it. Yeah. All right, so let's get to the Word of God here. In John chapter 20, in verse 19, we'll resume here. And it says, and then the same day, as his resurrection at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And we don't read the entire account here. You can find that in the other Gospels. But when he had entered into their midst. See, the Lord, I don't know how he does it. I have a theory. And, of course, when last time I talked to Brandon about it, I think I started something in him that I shouldn't have started. But I have a theory, and this is plausible because, you know, when you look at the study of astrology and cosmic physics and that kind of thing, and I'm just applying a little bit of science to the topic here, just for kids, okay? But I could be incorrect, but you know, space appears to be built with layers, okay? And that's kind of what string theory is all about if you take a look at it. And so, you know, it would be plausible for the Lord to be able to present himself in multiple dimensions, okay? I know that sounds nutty, and it's not scriptural whatsoever, but, you know, we are attended to by angels. The Lord was attended to by angels, but we cannot see the angel realm, all right? And so there's obviously realities out there that we aren't subject to in these bodies and in the condition that we're in right now. And so, however the Lord did it, he caused himself to appear in their midst, whether he walked through the wall or just appeared. There was no door that was opened, and there he was. And so the disciples were terrified and affrighted. And imagine, you know, if I turn my head and look around, there's a guy sitting next to me all of a sudden. I'm going to be terrified and affrighted too. So their physical aspect was, they were shaking, and their mental aspect was fear. And our Lord had to calm them down, and probably a good example that Pastor Andre's preached for many years of what it's going to be like when we're taken up into the presence of the Lord. And that's going to be something that, in fact, that's why it's called the rapture, because it'll be a rapturous experience where we have no knowledge of anything like that happening to us in our natural lives. And so suddenly we're just going to be caught up into his presence. It's going to be pretty exciting. And so our Lord says, peace unto you. And in verse 20, and when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side to prove it was him. Okay, because they thought they were looking at a ghost. And of course, our Lord told them, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And so, he didn't say flesh, bones, and blood. He said flesh and bones. So where was his blood? His blood is applied to the mercy seat in heaven where it belongs. And so, when we are caught up into the presence of the Lord, I believe also that we're going to be a flesh and bone body. We will not have any need for our blood any longer, because our blood is the blood of Adam. It's tainted. It's sin-wrecked blood. Okay? We are going to be sustained by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Okay? And, yeah, is there a fly on me? You're looking at me like I'm shining my headlights at a deer. Do I need to break out the gavel? All right. When my wife looks at me like that, I always automatically assume that I'm doing something wrong, or I have a booger stuck in my mustache or something like that. Okay. I just won't look at her. All right. And when he had said, so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And he said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins, really this is the sin, ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now this doesn't mean, I'll go into, the entire message is going to be based upon this portion here, but I'm going to deal with this one subject real quick. This doesn't mean that they can apply a curse on anybody, like you cannot have salvation, sir, you know, or whatever. What it means is if they preach the gospel of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to people, and to the people reject them, what are they rejecting? They're rejecting the Lord himself, okay? And so their sins are retained. And everyone who has their sins retained unto them will stand one day before the great white throne judgment, and they'll be judged for the things done in the flesh, okay? And so the book of works will be open, and all the things that are done according to the law will be there, and they'll be found short of perfection, or short of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll be cast into a lake of fire. But whosoever sins they remit, they're remitted permanently, because they've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel message, into their heart, and received him as their Savior. And so he says, even so send I you, just like the Father sent him, and he breathed upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit permanently. This seems like an odd act, and there are certain sects of Christianity where they have spirit meetings where the pastor will, it's almost like a ritualistic thing where they'll endue you with the Holy Spirit, okay, if you become Christian enough, okay. And the reason why he did this was that they couldn't be permanently indwelt by the Spirit of God until our Lord was glorified, which means he had to die upon the cross for our sins, he had to be buried, and he had to rise again from the dead. And, you know, of course, just like all the Old Testament saints, and when you think about our Lord's First Advent ministry and the Gospels, these are really Old Testament books, okay? These are Old Testament characters, disciples. And so the Lord had given them his Spirit for service and for the various things they did, for faith. All the various works that the Spirit does for us, he also did it for them, because salvation's always been by grace through faith. And, you know, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It requires the act of the Spirit of God to activate the mind so that they might believe the truth of the Word of God when it's being preached to them. And that's always been the case. And so now they're permanently indwelled by the Spirit of God. And all believers after this, the moment they trust Christ as their Savior, they also are permanently indwelled by the Spirit of God. And so what's the purpose of this? And this is something that I drive home all the time. No one knows the things of God except what? The Spirit of God. Okay? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Pardon me if I clear my throat several times during this message. I seem to be unable to rid myself of the phlegm on my vocal cords. All right, so in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says in verse 9, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard." And this is a portion of Scripture that you all should be very familiar with, but it's good to cover these things over and over again so that, you know, we live our lives according to, as believers, we should be living our lives according to thus saith the Lord. And we have a peace that comes along with being a believer in Jesus Christ because we've pleased the Lord by entering into salvation through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And part of having the peace of God that passes all understanding is knowing what God says about things. And so, when we look at the world and the chaotic mess that it's in, you know, I mentioned it briefly this morning, kind of altered my message a little bit based upon where the Lord wanted me to go with the new folks being here in the morning. But I mentioned that I was listening to the Ben Shapiro show on the radio. And the guy's, he's a Jew. He's really, really interesting. Talks fast, but the guy knows his stuff. I mean, if you try and lock him down on a fact, he'll back you right out of it so quick it's not funny. But, you know, he made the comment that we shouldn't be looking at our political leaders for a moral example, which is right, you know. And that's what everybody wants to do for some reason. They want to hold these political leaders on a pedestal like they're some kind of gods, you know. But they're just men. And, of course, he says, makes the comment, if you're looking for a moral example, go talk to your, you know, pastor, priest, or rabbi. Now, of course, that's what the unregenerate world believes. And he's a Jew and doesn't show any signs of knowing the truth. But then he starts talking about how if science agrees with, we've got the whole gender question out there these days. And apparently, unbeknownst to me, according to science, there's over 200 different genders. Okay? So, there's not enough letters in the alphabet to tack them onto the LGBTQ movement. But that there's just, if when you go into a doctor's office, I recently had to do this, and you fill out the initial questionnaire, does it typically ask you if you're a man or a woman? All right, so if the science world says that there's over 200 genders, why is it that, did you just say circle bull? Yeah. Just, I'm everything. I want all the genders. There probably is a gender for that, actually, if you desire it. Okay, we got an app for that. We got a gender for that. Or you can check mail, and then by the time you get in the doctor's office, maybe you're feeling a little bit more feminine, so you'd like to change your selection. But, you know, it just, if they have to, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, you see all these things just seething in the world, and drives me absolutely bonkers. But I'm at peace with it, okay? I know that mankind is just showing his true colors. Like I mentioned this morning, if God says go this way, man walks this way. If God says go that way, man turns around and walks the other way. You know, whatever is anti-God, that's what man says is the moral high ground. And, of course, he's functioning according to what he received from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And, I don't care how you cut the cookie. It's always one man saying he's better than another man, or one group saying they're better than another group. I'm better, I'm better, I'm better, I'm better. The ego, okay? And in the day in which we live, you're seeing the expanded effects of the ego. And in times prior, of course, this has happened before, but it seems like civilization goes in these ebbs and flows where they're functioning according to a high ego, and then suddenly things come back to a bit of a state of normalcy. It's kind of like the nation of Israel when they trusted the Lord here and then everything was fine. They received the blessings of the Lord. Then they disobeyed him and everything went wrong. They said, oh, Lord, we sinned against thee. And that's kind of the way man is. Man's a hot mess. But when you look at all these things and you see your rights being stripped. I love being an American. Being an American is the best. This is the best, literally, like Reagan said, the best last hope. For, how was it, the best last hope for peace on earth. I can't remember the quote. It's the best place to live in the entire world. I love being an American. And when I see my rights being slowly stripped away, and you know, they're not moving to remove the Bill of Rights or take anything off of the Bill of Rights slowly. They're just rewriting the verbiage in lawyer speak so that, you know, our rights don't mean anything anymore. And, you know, I'm the kind of guy that if push comes to shove, I'm willing to stand up for it. But I know that's not going to do any good because the United States has to fail as a sovereign nation in order for it to join the one world movement that will one day reach its culmination under the Antichrist. But I know that the Lord knows the beginning from the end and has it all planned out. And I'm not reserved under wrath. And so, you know, like the song says in the Lily of the Valley, I believe it is, I'm happy all the days of my life. You know, we've got no reason to fear. We have a Lord and Savior that has fulfilled the law on our behalf. He's died for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. He's conquered the work of the devil. He's conquered sin. He's conquered death. You know, we will not receive the second death. We will pass through the veil of death, but we won't be tossed into the lake of fire. And so because of these things, we possess the peace of God that passes all understanding. So the world doesn't understand what kind of peace we have because they don't know the Lord and Savior. And so, you know, the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God is paramount to our understanding of these things. And so when you reach a point in your life, and I've been to this point many times where and this is just human nature, and you shouldn't feel bad about doing this. I always feel like I'm the worst servant of the Lord ever when I start doubting something. And it's just, these thoughts just pop into our mind every now and then. But when we doubt, okay, or when we find a contradiction that we can't seem to close together, or you know, somebody kind of gives us bits of information that don't quite make sense in accordance with the truth of the Word of God, know that greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Because that's really the work of the devil. He wants to create doubt in our minds. So if we're in a position of doubt, first we doubt the Lord, then we doubt ourselves. Next thing you know, we're backslidden, okay? And we're not serving the Lord. So we're indwelt by the Spirit of God. The natural man does not understand the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. And so it says here in verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So, you know, I can't walk up to you like we've been watching the new Star Trek series, me and Noah, and Lieutenant Spock can walk up and put his fingers on your face and, like, you know, read your mind and know all the things that happened in your past, right? So, he's a Vulcan, so he possesses that ability, right? You know, you weren't a sci-fi buff, were you? Yeah. Well, you know,
I was when I was a kid, Flash Gordon.
Okay, there you go. Well, you're one of us then. You're an honorary member of the club. But he can, you know, Spock can, or any Vulcan that's trained to do it, can walk up to you and put his three fingers in the right spot on your face and make a really, like, beleaguered, wincing look on his face and understand everything that's ever happened to you. Well, we can't do that to one another. We can't read each other's minds, okay? So I can only reveal myself to you if I choose to do it via either writing or via speaking, okay? The same with the Lord. No man naturally knows the mind or what the thoughts of the Lord are, and but it's revealed to us through His Spirit, the indwelling presence of His Spirit, which obviously happens when you hear the Word of God and believe it. And so it says in verse 11, "For what man know the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world," okay? The spirit of the world is really a spirit of Antichrist, okay? And we're born as not children of the devil, but children of wrath. So we are naturally disobedient to God because of the sin nature we received from our great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam, okay, when he ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because God has made of mankind, we are all one blood. Pastor Andre preached a message on that this morning. And so he says, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might freely, might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And of course, if you flip over to Isaiah chapter 28, I'll read it real quick. You'll understand why we flip around in the Bible so much. Noah and I are going to start taking guitar lessons, and the guy's going to teach me how to read music at the same time. I figure someday I'll have to be the song leader of the church and possibly know how to use my voice maybe a little bit. That way I don't scare people out of here. What's that? Yeah, one of those guitar pastors, the camp counselor size. I'm going to sing a song about it. It was like Pastor Andre is saying, pastors that are I've noticed in listening to people preach, pastors that are musically inclined or have a good voice, the services are all music. You know, also, there's nothing wrong with singing hymns and that kind of thing. And I love singing hymns, and it's not only does it kind of get me in the right spiritual frame of mind before I start preaching, but it gives us an opportunity to glorify the Lord for what He's done for us. It's great. But we're not here to show off our natural talents, so to speak. And that's, pastors that don't have a whole lot to offer in the form of a spoken message typically will take up the time with the music service. Yep. So, we learn the Word of God like you learn how to play the guitar, or you learn mathematics, or any of the things that require repetition, again and again and again. And if you can't get the chord, just keep practicing it. Eventually, you'll get the chord. And so, we go over portions of Scripture again and again and again and again. And eventually, you know them by heart. And so, that's a good place to be. And so, in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. Because, when somebody has been taught incorrectly for so long, it's difficult for them to, it's difficult to change their mind. All right? And so when we teach, we do it this way. For precept must be upon precept. Okay? And then precept upon precept again. Line upon line. Notice he doesn't say it once, but line upon line again. So we're talking about the same portion of Scripture again and again and again. And here a little and there a little. And so that's what we do. I preach expositionally, just like Pastor Andre. I suppose if he had a different preaching style, growing up listening to him, I probably would have a different style too. But this works for me, and it works for him, and I love it because I can walk into the pulpit, have an idea of what I want to preach, and I can preach according to my, planned out sermon that I have. But oftentimes I don't because of what the Lord lays upon my mind and my heart. But we'll take this portion of Scripture, tie it with that portion of Scripture, tie it with another portion of Scripture, and then we have a congruent thought and a true thread that goes all the way through the Word of God that's unbreakable. It's like taking a bunch of what are those shish kebab sticks? Okay, the little bamboo things? Skewers, yeah. So how easy is it to break one skewer? It's pretty easy. But if you tie 4, 5, 6, 7 of them together and try and break it, it's a lot harder. And so when you tie the Word of God together like that, it gives the Word of God strength. And so that's how it's done. And going back over to 1 Corinthians, we read, so we compare spiritual things with spiritual things, or the Word of God with the Word of God. Okay? Because when you're spiritual, you're operating according to the truth of the Word of God. That's what being spiritual is. And in verse 14, we quote this all the time also. But the natural man, that's the naturally born man, the man just simply born into the world out of his mother's womb, okay, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Oh, but I thought I was a born Christian, or a born Catholic, or a born Jew. I thought I naturally was this because my mom is, and I came from her womb, right? You know, no, it says in the first chapter of John, you know, not by blood, not by works, not by him that runneth, you know, but according to the Lord and his, you know, the blessing of the word of God to your heart and mind. And so it says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Because the natural man is inclined to operate according to the flesh. And the flesh says, I can do it. It's that ego we see seething in the world, you know. Man's always attempting. And the end result, Alexandria, she has two last names. Ocasio-Cortez. I call her Occasional Cortex. Because every now and then.
AOC now.
Oh, is that right? AOC. Okay. Yeah. I'll make sure to remember that. I wouldn't want to offend her. But, you know, Alexandria Occasional Cortex, you know, what does she want to do? Well, if we just had everybody's money and then gave it everybody what they needed, you know, not according to your need, but according to, or how does the the Alinsky phrase go? According to, I can't remember it. I'll think of it here in a little bit. But, you know, just distribute everybody's money according to your needs, and then everybody will have the same thing, and we'll live in a perfect, wonderful, utopian society, and nobody will have any problems whatsoever. You know, that is the place they want to go. But, you know, just like Venezuela, as soon as you start regulating the capitalistic system, which is the only thing that produces money, you know, the government can't produce any money, okay? It doesn't have anything that it sells anybody. I mean, yes, the government sells, you know, planes to Saudi Arabia or whatever, but they'll buy them from Boeing or Lockheed Martin or whatever and then sell them. So it's, you know, the government has no means to produce money, but the capitalistic system does. And as soon as you start regulating things to the point where business doesn't function like it should, then the economy collapses and you have hyperinflation like you're seeing in Venezuela. But, of course, nobody looks at that for any kind of example whatsoever, because it's always, oh, we just didn't have enough of your money, or we just didn't do it to the most extreme extent like we should, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, people cheer it. But it's usually the guy that doesn't want to do anything for a living and sits around and receives I don't understand how. It's a house down the street from where I work where, you know, there's a mother living there, all her kids, and the kids' boyfriends and girlfriends, and they're all sitting around doing nothing, and each one of them receives some kind of disability check. But I see them walking around just fine, and they seem to be able to go on the front porch to smoke, you know, 15 times a day and that kind of thing. But, you know, if I walked into a government agency and said I've got a hurt toe or whatever, or a cough, I wouldn't be able to get disability. So how do these people do it? But, you know, those are the kind of people that are voting for the progressives, and there's a lot of them out there. So getting back to the Word of God, the Spirit of God is what allows us to understand the Word of God. And, of course, like it says over in John chapter 14, I'm going to read a little bit of Scripture there. He says in verse 23, our Lord Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, okay, or his doctrine, okay, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. So we're speaking of the Trinity here, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make our abode with him. And so the Lord and the person of the Father, the person of the Son, and the person of the Holy Spirit indwells us permanently. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet or still present with you. And he says, but the Comforter, which is the Greek word parakletos, parakletos, I may be pronouncing it wrong. It's an advocate, okay? It's like your attorney, all right? Your attorney knows the law, okay? And so when you need assistance in a legal manner, your attorney represents you because he knows what's allowable and disallowed before the law. And so it's likened to the Spirit of God. So he says, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall do what? Teach you all things. Okay? So his Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're his. So when we hear the Word of God, it's the Spirit of God that causes us to retain the things that are freely given to us of God. And brings all things to your remembrance, okay, when they're needed, whatsoever I have said unto you. And so going back to the 20th chapter, our Lord breathed upon them, and they received the Holy Ghost, permanently indwelled by the Lord. And right prior to that, our Lord said in verse 21, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. Now turn over to the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. So at a later point, our Lord gives the disciples what we call the Great Commission. And we are told to do what as a church? And the church is made up of both Jews and Gentiles who are redeemed by the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a church, our Lord told the disciples this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, it's the Greek word exousia, which means authority, okay, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Okay, so our Lord Jesus Christ is endued with the power or the authority that comes from God. And so with that authority, or the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he says, go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Or so be it. And so as a church, our Lord has commissioned us to do what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. We have a job to do here. We're working as a community of believers. And, you know, just like the Lord likened it to a body, each and every one of us has a different job or several jobs, you know, depending on what the Lord has blessed us with. And all those jobs working together are used by the Lord so that the Word of God might go forth to a lost world. Now, Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I believe this is likened to the age in which we live. Getting some work out of your thumbs tonight. Paul talks about how there will be a time when the world will not endure sound doctrine. And I believe we are at the peak of that time. Okay? Just think about it. If you speak to somebody about the truth of the Word of God, they'd rather hear anything else, you know. And, you know, it's just the way that it's supposed to be before the Lord comes in his second coming. And so he says in verse 1 of the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, I charge thee, Paul speaking to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Now don't be concerned, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be under the judgment of God. Okay, unbelievers or those that, whose sins are retained unto them will go before the great white throne judgment. Paul says, preach the word, okay? He didn't say create carnivals in the church or have basketball teams or have baseball teams or
you know, this thing or that thing that attracts people. Those things are fine. If you can have a church that preaches the gospel and the gospel message is going forward and people are being saved and built up in the truth of the Word of God, do whatever else you want to do if you're able to do it. But typically when you have a bunch of programs like that, those are the reasons why people come to the church. And, of course, we would like it so to be the reason for you being here is to hear the Word of God. You know, and, you know, if you're not interested in hearing the Word of God, then honestly, you shouldn't be here. You know, and so, you know, granted, if you have, you know, like that Waypoint Church down around the corner from my old house, it was a Lutheran church that was, you know, an old stuffy establishment nobody went to anymore. So they closed that parish. And the new modern Waypoint Church came in. And, of course, they've got bands in there all the time and all kinds of activities for the kids. The place is just teeming with kids, you know, kids and some adults. But they seem to be preaching more towards, the ministry is more towards young adults than it is adults. But, you know, I know what they preach. I've looked them up online. And the tiny amount of the Word of God that's in there is almost unrecognizable as the Word of God in and of itself. And, you know, that's what the world wants. You know, they want ministries that build up your ego and make you a better person, make you a more whole person, make you a more social person, make you a better husband, a better wife, whatever it may be. But, you know, the reason for us our gathering together is supposed to be gathering together around the truth of the Word of God. Okay? And so he says this, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. He says, be instant. That's diligent, responsible, okay? And so, you know, I have a responsibility to study, to at least have some idea of what I'm talking about so I can give you the truth of the Word of God so you can grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Granted, he's telling this to Timothy, who's a minister, but really we all have this responsibility. Be instant in season and out of season, or when you're needed or when you're not, you know, be ready to go to the work, okay? Reprove, and, you know, that means to expose or to show forth the truth, okay? So reprove, rebuke. And, of course, you know, we know what rebuking means. It means to correct, and nobody likes to be corrected. But sometimes, in order to function properly in the body of Christ as a body of believers, and somebody's kind of going the wrong direction pertaining to the Word of God, they have to be corrected, you know. Do we let our children go to the wrong direction to the point of their own demise? No, we steer them the right direction. We turn them away from the danger. And so if we have somebody that's getting particularly legalistic or not adherent to the basic doctrine and fundamentals of the Word of God, then, you know, we preach things in our messages that are to correct them. Of course, oftentimes, it's unneeded for us to say anything to anybody directly. The Word of God goes forth, and I've been a recipient of this before. I've had some pretty wacko ideas pertaining to the truth of the Word of God in my mind when I was younger, and you know, things I didn't understand, and questions that caused there to be divisions in the Scripture in my mind. And that's the only place that they were, was my mind. They didn't really exist. And so, consequently, I'd come to church. I, most of the time, didn't even have to say anything to Pastor Andre. But somehow, what I needed would come out in the messages, and there would be a clarification, and everything would be settled and congruent with the Scriptures, which is a wonderful thing. And so the Word of God rebukes, exhort, which means, it's kind of an interesting word in the Greek, parakaleo, which has to do with, it has a legal sense to it. So it kind of means, and this is based upon my study, call on evidence that stands up in God's court, okay? Which is, you know, the Greeks used words like this, and they didn't always translate into English with the proper understanding. And so exhort with all long-suffering, you know, that's patience, okay? If I'm not getting the results that I want, you know, I can't start making concessions pertaining to the Word of God. I have to let God do the work. So it requires patience, okay? With all long-suffering and what? Doctrine. Always stick to doctrine. Never waver from doctrine, okay? Always stand firm in the truth of the Word of God because there is no other truth, okay?
And I started this timer, and then we talked for a while, and then I finally turned the button on, so we have 3 minutes. All right. So he says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're in those times. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And this speaks of like a maid wanting to be seduced. Okay. Tell me what I want to hear. And, of course, you know, many women over the centuries have gotten in trouble by men telling them they want to hear, but they end up being the wrong man, right? Well, same goes within the spiritual realm, okay? So when we are being told what we want to hear, spiritually speaking, men and women typically want to have their egos stroked, okay? And so we have pastors out there that are attempting to be more like a self-help service than a man of God. And in verse 4 it says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And of course, a fable is anything that's not in congruency with the word of God. Okay. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Paul says, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I've kept the faith. And so, you know, Paul was getting to a point where he knew he was going to be put to death. Now, I want to read a couple more verses in John, and then we'll close the service. So our Lord says, my voice is about to go too, so it's probably a good time to quit. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And when the disciples were glad, they were glad when they saw the Lord. And then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whoever sins you retain, they are retained. And so anybody they preached to that accepted the truth of the Word of God, the disciples of the Lord weren't the ones remitting sins, but the Lord himself did the work when the Word of God went forth. And of course, if they were rejected, you know, their sins were retained unto them. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciple therefore said unto him, for we have seen the Lord. But he said unto him, except I see in his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. And then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, so he entered the same way he entered before, just appeared in their midst. And stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. And then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. And the Lord says something kind of curious. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And if we had time, I'd take you over to Hebrews. But the Word of God declares that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. And, you know, I did not witness the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. I have no carnal evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ ever being in existence. But I know that he's real. I know that he lives. And I know this is the truth, because of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God within me. And I look back at this day as really the best day of my life, when I was sitting back there and accepted the truth of the Word of God as my own. And just that overwhelming flush of understanding who you are suddenly and who God is it's irrefutable evidence of what took place. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the wonderful salvation that we received by your grace through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go further studying in the book of John here and look at the disciples and the things they did as natural men, when they went back to going to the things they go back to doing the things they used to do by fishing and that kind of thing, and our Lord kind of had to redirect them. He'll show us some good lessons, and just ask that you bless there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.